Welcome to season two of I Vet So Hard, the not so serious podcast for seriously busy veterinary teams.
Hold on to your sanity, happiness, and success. Learn a few new tricks and embrace efficient processes that actually work in veterinary practice.
In each episode, we'll kick the tires on a hot topic and break it down into five key takeaways that you can start using right away. I'm Dr. Stacy Santee.
I'm Dr. Caitlin DeWild.
I'm Dr. Krista Wallace.
And this is I Vet So Hard. This week on I Vet So Hard, we are talking about relocation sabbaticals. Now, listen, guys, this is something that Dr. Krista, Dr. Caitlin, and myself have all dabbled in, and we love it. And so we thought it would be great to discuss all you need to know about working remotely or taking a leave of absence and going somewhere else with your life for a little bit of time every year. So Krista, you have your first relocation sabbatical coming up. Tell us about it.
Yes, I'm super excited. I just decided to go for it. I live in Kansas City and the winters are getting harder and harder for me the longer I live. And I chose to go to Florida for the month of February because it's my happy place. Every time I go to Florida for the conference, the NAVC, or now it's called VMX conference, I'm just super happy every day that I'm down there. So I chose to go to Florida. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm going to go to the Tampa Bay area and see some of my friends there. And I have family that relocates down there to Fort Myers. So I'll have a little bit of home back there as well.
That sounds really amazing. And Caitlin, you're currently on relocation sabbatical. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so we are staying in California this summer, and that's something that my family and I have wanted to do for a long time. We've actually, you know, wanted to do it around the time of COVID, and it's just been, you know, getting all of our ducks lined up in a row to make it happen. And it's taken that long for us to be in a position that we could do it. So we are working. My kids are going to camp in San Diego. They're getting to do all the, like, you know, really fun camps. Normally they do, you know, the zoo camp and the art museum camp and science center camp and all that kind of stuff in St. Louis where we live. But this year they're getting to do it at the San Diego ones. And we were like, you know, if we got to put them in camp anyway, we might as well let them do that here. And my husband and I work during the day while they're gone, and then we all get to go explore in the evening. So that's our current setup.
Awesome. And I've been going to Arizona 2 years now in a row. I've gone from about November, end of November to April. And I'm going from Colorado to Arizona because I just hate the cold now. And we really like to wear shorts in the winter. And our animals, you know, we have this huge caravan of animals we bring. Now, just to clarify for our listeners, Dr. Krista, you are a practicing veterinarian owner. Caitlin, you own your own digital software company. And I also owned a digital software company. So, you know, we're coming from different perspectives in our lives, but we think it's something that no matter what your job is and where you work and what you do, it's something to consider. So we want to break down how you go about figuring this out. How do you execute it and make it a reality? The first question I have for you guys is it a possibility for everyone to do this? Like, what are some deal breakers that would make it a no-go for a person that wanted to do a relocation sabbatical?
I think that for me, there's no way I could have done this 15 years ago. I was not financially set and I did not have all my ducks in a row at that time. So I feel for me personally, money and planning was very high on my list as to, is this even possible for me? And being a business owner and being a full-time practicing vet, the next question for me was, can my practice live without me for a month? The reality is, yes, they can. they can live without me for a month. And even though we like to think that it won't work, it may not work as smoothly, but it will work. And I think for me personally, using telemedicine, I can still be in contact with all of my clients and staff while I'm remotely living in Florida in the sunshine.
Hey guys, it's Stacy from the I Vet So Hard podcast. I wanted to tell you about a brand new course we just released called The 7 Love Languages of Client Loyalty. It's a collection of 7 videos that each focus on an element of the client experience. You know, how to win and keep your top clients. The course is available at ivetsohard.com and it comes 2 ways. You can either take it as an individual for $9.99 or you can get the Big Daddy Team Package for $2.99, which comes with a practice manager lesson plan, discussion questions, and RACE certification. One recent manager that took the course said there were so many ideas for her team that it felt like practice manager Christmas. So head on over to ivetsohard.com and check it out.
Yeah, I think some other deal breakers are, you know, if you have family obligations, depending where your kids are at and their ages and their, you know, can they go to camps or not? That was a big thing for us, is that my youngest, he was just now old enough kind of to go to camps before he was in daycare, and we couldn't like not have daycare with, because then I wouldn't be able to work while we were here. So, you know, some of those things certainly can be an issue, and pets are an issue too, right? So I really struggled with this decision. We have a 2-year-old pity boxer mix who's a, you know, great ball of fire, and I also have like a 1,000-year-old cat. And so it was a big deal to try to figure out, like, do we bring them? Do we travel with them? What's the cost of boarding or, you know, arranging for care for them? And or conversely for us, we ended up bringing the dog, which, because, you know, boarding is expensive for sure for a big dog, and making sure she had, like, you know, the appropriate amount of exercise and things like that. But that did mean we ended up splurging on dog friendly hotels or Airbnbs along the way, and we had to drive to California from Missouri instead of flying. So there's all those kind of considerations, but what works for one family might work differently from another. But like Krista said, what's not a deal breaker is, can the practice live without you? And I know I'm coming from a slightly non-traditional role here in what I do at the Social DVM, but I still traditionally work 2 to 3 days a month at my practice. And what that meant was I'm not doing it this summer, and which, you know, is not the best time to be not available for the clinic. But it also meant this spring, when the owner wanted to leave, you know, for 2 weeks, I covered, and I'm doing a lot when I get back, and I'm still doing some things. So I'm, you know, just had to approve some prescriptions this morning. So for one of my clients, so you can still do it, but the practice can survive without you. So I think that's a great point that you made, Krista.
Yeah. And Stacy, how easy is it for you to relocate? Because you kind of live on this farm. You got horses, you got chickens, you got all kinds of critters.
Yeah. The first year I left my chickens and ducks here, and I left my one cat who's more of a barn cat. We took the 4 horses and the 2 dogs and the seniorly cat. But this last year, you know, for me, I found out I just can't relax with my animals not with me. So we caravan the whole shebang. So 6 horses now. And
oh my God.
We've got all the birds I bring and the dogs and the cats. Like, it's a whole event. But I was nervous that my barn cat wasn't going to handle it well. And, you know, he really shocked me. He did meow about an hour. He meowed all the way from Durango to Cortez. But then he settled right in. And now I've taken him back and forth probably about 6 times. It's an 8-hour drive, and we got this down pat. And, you know, for me, and I'm staying in Arizona for 4 months, so that's a little different than y'all. You're not going for that long, but I just felt like I couldn't fully enjoy myself knowing I left some of my responsibilities in the hands of others. And then I felt all guilty for the animals, because I even though my husband tells me birds don't have that many feelings, I don't know, I still kind of
guilty. Are we talking about Beyonce the chicken here?
J-Lo. It's J-Lo, J-Lo chicken. Beyonce passed away a few years ago. So I've got J-Lo, who's similar to Hurricane, your cat, in that J-Lo is ancient. She turned 10 years old this year. She's like the oldest chicken you ever saw.
That's crazy. That's crazy old for a chicken.
Yes, geez.
And then when we got there this year, I kept thinking she was going to die and she just didn't. So I had to persuade my husband to build another chicken coop there in Arizona because she was living out of the horse trailer for a few weeks. You know, which brings up like the next step, if you're going to do this, is planning. You've got to really be good at planning if you're going to pull this off. This is really not a wing it kind of situation. Would you agree?
Oh my God. We probably started, I mean, we've been talking about it and kind of scoping out the areas that we wanted to consider staying. Like I said, since, you know, probably 3 years ago, but we booked the place that we are staying for the bulk of our time here about 10 months in advance. We actually had a different place booked, and which would have been better. And they unfortunately ended up selling that. It was an Airbnb and they ended up selling it. So then we were screwed because we were like, we got to find something. And now we have not that much time. And I think like for us, we were like, if we're doing it, we want to do it the way that we want to do it, right? We want to be in this area. We want to be in this particular neighborhood because one of the things that we'll talk about in a little bit is, you know, we are maybe considering a move. So it was worth it to us to get the right spot. But I will tell you now, like we've even started thinking about it for next year and I've already looked on Airbnb and things and it's already like, there are already places available that I could book right now, like a year in advance. So I think that's a huge thing. And then, you know, I know Krista has many more clinic responsibilities than I do, but I can't tell you how much time it took me to get the kids and the pets situated. I mean, it's kind of been like when we left, I was like, oh my God, I can relax. Like, I'm going to have so much more free time because I won't be like working on this. So I do feel like it was a lot of upfront planning and organizing over the span of many months.
Yeah, I agree. I have been thinking about it actually for 5 years and been testing the waters 2 weeks at a time over the winter months so that I don't have to be in Kansas. And finally, I too rented through Vrbo and found a really great family. And hopefully, if all goes well this year, I'll just continue to rent year after year for a little bit longer each time as well. But I think time of year for me is important. Like you, Caitlin, you have kids that might be in school. So summer made sense. For me, I hate winters in Kansas. Winter makes sense to be in some place that's nice and warm. Of course, I also got my vet license and I had to get that ahead of time because I want the opportunity, if necessary, while I'm in Florida to practice veterinary medicine. So having all of those things planned out before you go is very important, as well as are you going to drive or fly? And if you're bringing kids or pets, all of that thing has to be mapped out so that you don't go crazy along the way.
I think another consideration is obviously we're all speaking from some degree of privilege of both the money to be able to do this and the flexibility in our work life, but also the amount of time, right? Like if you don't like the time, it does take time to do planning. And I think that is, you know, something that we've been lucky to be able to build into our schedules.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And one thing to remember too is things like your medications for yourself, for your kids, for your pets. It's going to be a little harder to get those medications if you're in another state, probably.
Yeah, we've run into that. And I will say I've used quite a few Amazon and begged UPS deliveries from of things that I forgot, or, you know, I have somebody going to my house to check on my cat and I'm like, hey, can you get a box? And I need X, Y, and Z, or things like you didn't really think, like I didn't think to bring nail trimmers for my dog.
Hey guys, it's Krista Wallace from the I Vet So Hard podcast. Did you know that I Vet So Hard is race approved?
All you need to do is listen to 3 episodes and take a quiz at ivetsohard.com, and we will send you your CE certificate. It's that easy.
You know, you guys are both renting and doing VRBO or Airbnb, and what we ended up doing was making a real estate investment. And I just want to bring that up because if it is something that you see yourself doing regularly, a real estate investment is a really great opportunity for your own financial health. And some of these real estate investments, if you're in a good spot, you could VRBO them out when you're not there to help provide income to support your relocation habit. So think about that as well. You know, if you can get yourself to a financial state where you could make that investment, it's probably going to be a really worthwhile thing for you to explore.
You know, the other thing I wanted to bring up as a practice owner and a practicing vet full time is, like Caitlin said, everything has to be pre-planned. The only reason why I can do this is because I use virtual care and I'll be doing virtual care, but all of that has to be set up and tested and ready to go before you leave. I also need to find, you know, relief vets to come in and help this practice out a couple days a week while I'm gone for that month. So all of that is planned ahead of time. And then, of course, you keep your fingers crossed and hope that the relief vet doesn't fall through. But it took a lot of hard work to get me here to be able to relocate and still work with my practice.
Yeah, we should give a shout out to our friend Cindy Trice of Relief Rover, because that's a great way to find relief opportunities to fill your spot. But also, if you're in the area and you want to pick up some shifts, I'm telling you guys, you can make some money doing relief emergency services for sure, and even day services. So there are like so many opportunities for you.
Yeah, for sure. I also got my California license, and it does, from a tax standpoint, then there's certain expenses, right, that now are a business expense instead of a personal expense. So even just picking up a day or two is certainly, and it's kind of fun. Like I haven't done it yet. I actually have a shift in a couple of weeks, but I'm looking forward to it just to see. You know, it's kind of nice to see the inner workings of another practice. So, but yeah, I found that on Relief River. So super helpful.
Yeah. I was seeing like in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, I was exploring like, oh, maybe I'll pick up a shift, and you could pick up a relief shift for like $3,000 a night. I thought, holy cow. You know, I ended up not doing it because I honestly don't know if I could stay up all night anymore, but if I could.
Yeah, but that's how you can fund your relocation. And that's how I'm going to fund it, is by working one day a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Now let's talk about what's the ideal time frame to be gone. You know, we're not talking a few weeks, because otherwise that's kind of just a vacation. So we're going to say at least a month, but do you guys have any suggestions on this?
I am going to be in Florida for a full month. I took a little time off before and after to drive and get myself there and back. If a full month goes well, the next year it'll be for 2 months, and then hopefully so on and so on.
So you're just taking that approach of sort of dip your toe in the water and don't jump all in.
Right.
Makes sense. Caitlin, what do you think? How long are you guys in California for?
With our travel time, we're right at 2 months. So I think like technically we're here for like 7.5 weeks or something like that. But because we spent a week to actually almost 10 days to get out here, because we did a lot of things along the way. On the way back, we're going to make that a lot shorter because we've just got to get back. But I do think that, you know, it was really a month probably in before I started being like, okay, this is really what it would be like to live here, right? We've had to figure out, you know, groceries and, you know, I don't know, just more things. And the fact that I'm working during the day, that really has also solidified it. I did take a full 2 weeks off for the drive out and like the first, you know, several days that we were here, and I was completely unplugged. And shout out to Eric Garcia for kind of coining and really promoting that initiative in VetMed, but you know, no email, no social media, that kind of thing. So that really helped, but it did really, you know, feel like vacation. But then you've got the, like, the worst end of that problem when you get back. Then you're like, oh crap, like, I have all this to catch up on, and I'm like in a new place, and, you know, the kids are starting a new camp, and, you know, things like that. So it was a little chaotic in the beginning, but now that we've been here for a while, I do feel like it really takes a month to feel like you're kind of settled in. And now that I'm, you know, kind of nearing the end, I'm starting to be like, oh man, I do not want to go back to St. Louis and kind of get back to reality. But I'll be honest, like, from the perspective of my kids and my pets, like, they do better with routine and kind of a normal thing. So I think for them, it'll be good to get kind of back into that. But I won't lie that I'm going to miss this, this weather and the flexibility, also being in different time zones. So I'm getting up super early working and being done, because my normal team is Central time and Eastern time. So they're done like hours ahead of time. I'm like, well, so am I guess.
A pro. Okay. Now let's dig into the good part here. What are some of the benefits you guys have experienced or hope to experience on your sabbatical?
For me, it was my physical health and that brought to my attention the idea of not having to euthanize for 1 month can be a game changer. And I'm actually really excited about that. The other thing for me, I have Lyme disease. So taking that time off is super important for me to rejuvenate my health and not do such physical things that I have to do as a private practitioner every day. I'm not going to be in the surgery suite getting freaked out, you know, because there's blood coming from somewhere.
I think too, another benefit of getting out of the clinic is not having to endure stressful situations for like a good 30 days. You're not having to have difficult conversations. You're not having to deal with, you know, torn pedicles or difficult surgical cases. You're not having to deal with your staff. Well, you might be having to deal with your staff, but at least not as much. And it can just be really great mental break.
Yeah. I think the mental break, the physical break from the clinic, it's got to be huge, especially for full time. Even for me, I won't lie, it's kind of nice to not have to go in for a little bit. I do think the other benefits, you know, for us, the weather is a huge one, right? It's 105 and like, I don't know, 1000% humidity in St. Louis. And we're outdoor people, and our kids, I have two boys that they're like lab puppies. If they are not outside or running around, then they are crazy. So it's been really nice for us to, you know, they do camp, we do work during the day, and at night we're out and about, we're doing hikes. We went to a slot canyon last night, all kinds of things. So I think it's been good bonding for us as a family. It's been nice that we've been able to really take advantage of the outdoors and the weather. And like I mentioned before, you know, we're trying to decide, like, I've lived in the Midwest my entire life, probably Krista, you can relate to this, but there's a lot of good and bad of the Midwest for sure. Spent a lot of time in different places, but really spending a significant chunk of time is always different than a vacation. So, you know, if we really are considering this whole, like, let's uproot our entire family and life, I didn't want to just do that. That seemed really weird. So it's been a good kind of experiment for us.
Yeah, so many positive things that can come about if you take advantage of this kind of opportunity. And, you know, this hasn't been an opportunity until recently for veterinarians, because I think we needed to have some of these technology tools to pull this off. We've got to have a telemedicine platform if you want to stay in contact with clients. That's anything from texting to video consulting. You've got to be able to communicate with your team, and that might be Zoom, it might be texting. And you also have to be able to do things like VRBO and figure out how you're going to have a temporary place that's not a hotel. So all the technology is kind of here for you now. So this becomes a real thing. Oh, and I have to also give another shout out to Relief Rover, because I think they open up a whole another bucket of where you can pick up relief shifts and pull this whole thing off. So if you're thinking about it, guys, you can do it. It requires preparation, planning, financially, personally, and professionally, but anything is possible. And if you think this sounds like a good idea for you, just go ahead and start figuring out how you're going to pull it off. It may not happen tomorrow, but in 2 or 3 years, this is something you can move forward to with your life. And like, trust me, it's so fun. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of I Vet So Hard.
Don't forget to head over to ivetsohard.com to sign up for bonus content with more tips on how to kick ass.
We will see you right back here, same time, same place next week.
Until then, here's to keeping your sanity at your practice.